As we had mentioned when we had our first group speak, we're trying to, you know, get some young people a little more involved in speaking. And again, you just never know when Brother Decker is going to say, hey, I would like to have the youth take the service tonight. And so, again, this is a good opportunity for you to exercise, all right? And also, we certainly believe it's a good opportunity for you to study, maybe study out a particular topic. And so, you know, Sister Sherry and I have done this in the past, of maybe taking a topic and having some speakers speak on a particular topic. And so tonight we're going to have Brother Ben and Brother Alex and Sister Lauren, all right, speak on a particular topic. If you can't always trust your feelings, or if I can't always trust my feelings, how do I know what is right? So we had them do some studying on this topic, and we're going to have them speak along these lines. And so, who would like to go first? Sister Lauren. All right, so we're going to have Sister Lauren come up, and let's pray for her. I know standing behind this pulpit, you might say, and speaking, it's nerve-wracking, and so we get nervous. So pray for her, all right? Pray for our speakers tonight. So we appreciate them so very, very much. And so, Sister Lauren.
I'm going to start out with prayer because I'm really nervous. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've done this week for us and today, and keeping everybody safe. Help everybody as they travel home, keep us safe. Help me as I speak. Help someone to get something out of it. Help only the words that you would have come out to come out. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I kind of keyed in more on the danger of following your emotions. So, some of the dangers in trusting your feelings to guide us on what's right and wrong. Feelings are of the flesh. So, let's just start with that. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary, the one of the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So pretty much all that's saying is the flesh and the Spirit are enemies. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 9, 27, it says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So you have to bring it, the flesh is fighting against you, and you have to bring it under, and it's against the Spirit. So if the emotions are of, or feelings are of the flesh, then you're going to have to fight them. Like, they're going to come, and they're going to be against you, and you're going to have to fight them. They're also a tool of the devil to deceive us. When God tells us to do work for him, he'll make us feel nervous about it. He'll make us feel stupid about some of the things we say to others while I'm witnessing. Like, you shouldn't have said that. Well, that could have been offensive, and why did you say that? And then some feelings that I have specifically, and how they can be used against me. When I get angry, I tend to want to lash out, and I get all, like, built up inside, and I get mad, and it's just not okay. But in Proverbs 15 and 1, which I'm sure many of you can quote this, but when you get nervous, you do not quote things right. So, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So you can't get angry. You have to stay calm in situations when you're mad, and you have to hold yourself back. Ask God for help so that you can get the right words out and not do worse, honestly. Another feeling is sadness. When you get sad, you often want to pull back and you want to curl up in a ball and stay away from everyone. You don't want to be around everyone. But God says to have fellowship with everybody. And in Galatians 6, 2, it it says, "Bear ye one another burdens, and bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So if we're going to help each other bear our burdens, then we have to be around them. You can't say that I want you to bear my burden with me, I want your help, but then you aren't going to open up to someone. Like, you have to be around people. And God gave us fellowship so that we were around people, so that they could help us.
True.
And why not use that? If he's given it to us, he gave it to us for a reason. Another thing is fear, nervousness, anxiousness, and overwhelmness. That's not a word. I don't know what it is. when the devil says, don't do it, stay where you're comfortable. And when God tells us to do something, we're supposed to do as he commanded. So if he's saying to get up and sing, the devil's going to say, well, you're not a good singer, or listen to all these times someone has criticized your singing, or if God says to get up and speak, well, you're going to say the wrong things, and things are not going to come out the way you want them to, and he's going to want you to stay in your seat. And that's what it's a big tool he uses in the church. When God says to say something, do something, he says, don't do it. It's not a good idea. You're going to say the wrong things. He wants you to stay where you're comfortable, because we cannot move forward if we don't go out of our boundaries. Another one is curiosity. Sometimes we want to stay and listen to the drama. Drama is situation or series of events involving interesting or intense conflict of force. So when two people are fighting, a lot of the times we call that drama because they're fighting. It's confliction of forces. And then we go and share it. And it leads to gossip. And because it reveals personal or sensational facts about others. And none of our business, really. So if you turn to Psalms 50 and 20... I looked up gossip in my Bible because I knew there were a lot of ones, and this one was the first one that popped up, and it really struck me. It says, "Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son." I was like, wow, that was really intense. Okay, so you're going to get, gossip is not okay, it's not right, it's not in God's will, and the devil is going to use it against you because we want to sit there and listen. We want to know what happened, but we shouldn't. So if we can't trust our emotions, what can we trust to be right? So we can trust God's voice because God is our king. Judges 17 and 6 says... In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So when you have people doing what's right in their own eyes, they aren't agreeing. So then automatically that's conflicting forces. And how are you going to witness to someone if both of you are trying to witness and one of you says one thing and the other says that thing? It's just confusion. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So obviously we know that if we aren't following anybody and we're going on our own ideas, then it's causing confusion, and that's not of God, because God is not the author of confusion. But we can listen to God's voice, because God is our king, and in Judges 17 and 6, it was talking about how there was no king, no ruler, no one there to rule over them, to give them instruction. And if God is our king, then he's there to give us instruction. And oftentimes he gives that through the Bible. The Bible says it's written for aforetime for our example. History repeats itself, so Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. says, the thing that hath been, is it that which shall be? And that which is done, is that which shall be done? And there is no new thing under the sun. It's going to happen. Things have already happened, and they're written in the Bible for our understanding and our example, that we can go back and say, well, look what happened when we didn't do this, and how did they solve their issues, and how should we solve it? It's an example to us. Someone has already gone what you're going through. Look for it. Look for the examples. Go talk to somebody. Which leads me to my next way that we can know that what to do is right, is go talk to your pillars in the church. Matthew 7, 16. Says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? So, and in verse 20 it says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Know who you're counseling with. Don't go to someone who's not steadfast and hasn't proved themselves. Go to your youth leaders, your pastors, your Sunday school teachers, people that have shown that they're solid in God and that they're getting God's word from it, and what they're giving you is from God. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counselors the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So we need to go to counselors because they know what they're doing. And if your counselor says something is wrong, listen. If your counselor says to do something, it's probably a good idea to take that into consideration, because oftentimes they know more than you and they're getting the wisdom of God. And sometimes it's really, really hard to hear God's voice when your emotions are speaking and the devil is using those against you. But if you would stop and listen and get the counsel you need and read the Bible and stay reading and praying and talking to your counselors, then you'll find what you need and you will not have to worry about your emotions as much, because they'll be with you. That's all I have.
Amen. All right. Brother Ben, you want to go next?
Let's start out with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the service this morning. We pray for the service tonight. We pray that you'd bless our Brother Watson or whoever would speak. We pray you'd help us tonight. Help us not to be nervous. Help us to only say what you'd have us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when Brother Steve asked me last Sunday to speak, I told him I couldn't because Russia invaded Ukraine. And that was the best excuse I could think of at the moment. And Russia gets blamed for everything else, so why not? But don't worry, I'm not long-winded, so this message should be short and sweet, like me. Brother Steve asked us to speak on the subject, if I can't always trust my feelings, how do I know what is right? In response to that question, I came up with three keys I believe we can use to find out what is right. And those three keys are pray, wait, and seek counsel. How do I know what is right is a question I seem to be asking myself quite a bit recently in the last year. Currently, I'm trying to weigh out decisions like whether to go to college or not, and I'm still not absolutely sure which way to go. But one of the toughest and most trying situations I have had up to this point happened right while I was graduating from high school. When you get up to the point of graduation, you have many big questions. For quite a while, I had a plan exactly what I was going to do. I had everything planned out perfect. So a few months before I graduated, I took the first step and everything seemed to go the way I planned. But nothing happened and I got no answer. So I finished school, I graduated, and I thought, well, they must have forgotten, so I'll try again. And it was something I really had a desire to do. It wasn't wrong in any way, shape, or form, but it was just what my plans were. So I tried again, and nothing happened again. Time was slipping by, and I got desperate. And so eventually, one day I was so overwhelmed, I got up one morning, and for 1 hour straight, I just poured out my heart to God, begging and pleading for an answer. I told him, even if the answer is no, I just asked him to give me an answer. But still, nothing happened until almost a month later, pretty much on the day, God opened a door, and I didn't pray for, and I didn't ask for, but a door clearly opened, and I'm so thankful I walked through it. I asked God to make his will so plain that I couldn't deny it, and he definitely did answer that prayer. During the whole situation, I learned two of the three keys, pray and wait. I asked God for one thing, and even though it was a good thing, God shut that door, but he clearly opened another. So if you don't know what is right, ask God. I don't know why God redirected me, but I am still thankful he opened another door for me to walk through. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." One song that came to my mind about prayer was the song that the choir sings, and I got so blessed thinking about it. It says, "I go to the rock that is higher than I. He knows what I need, and he hears when I cry. I have found him to be sufficient for me in all that I ask. He hears when I pray, he drives fears away, and stands in the storms that beat on my way. When my heart's overwhelmed, I go to the rock that is higher than I." Verse 1 says, "From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee, for thou hast been a shelter for me. When my soul was in doubt, thou hast proven to be a tower for me. As I travel this straight and narrow way, trials may come to turn me away. So when my heart's overwhelmed, I go to the rock that is higher than I." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing, and it is so important to bring our concerns to God. The second key is to wait, and that is something that I really don't care to do. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." After I graduated and I was in the time of waiting, I had to remind myself of a song that the Bergens sing, and this song really meant a lot to me during that time. It says, "The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're standing all alone, but he is there no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, he'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. When the enemy surrounds you and the walls are closing in, when the tide is swiftly rising and you wonder where he's been, friend, there never was a moment when his arms weren't reaching out, and you can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still." The third and final key to find out what is right is to seek godly counsel. And Lauren read this verse, Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of safety, in a multitude of counsel, there is safety." Right. And this congregation is blessed with so many great people to counsel with: our pastor, Brother Decker, our youth leaders, Brother Steve, Sister Sherry, Brother Chris, and Sister Victoria, along with many great ministers like Brother Fred Barrows, Brother Sesher, Brother Presley, and Brother Mike Wilkes, and many great Sunday school teachers. The person I've counseled with most in my life is my mom. I know I can always go to her for good counsel, but it is interesting when you go to different people for counsel, there's certain things that stand out from what they tell you. I've gotten different takeaways from different people, and I just wanted to share some of these with you. Brother Fred Barrows encouraged me to memorize scripture and to hide God's word in my heart. One thing I'll never forget my dad said one time, he said, "It's our job to be righteous, and God will do the rest." Brother Mike Wilkes told me to work hard, put God first, and he will take care of you. Brother Decker says, "Do what you know is right, pray, read your Bible, and come to the house of God." So in closing, you may be in the valley of decision, trying to figure out what is right and which way to go, but hang on. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." So if you can't trust your feelings and you don't know what is right, pray, wait, and seek counsel, and I'm sure God will bless you for it.
Amen. All right, Brother Alex.
Let's pray, because I am nervous. Lord God, we come to you tonight, Lord God, and we ask you to help us to bring the thoughts as you would bring, not in ourselves, but only in you, Lord God, and only what you'd have us to say. We ask you to give this across clearly, that somebody would learn something from it. Well, thank you for all you do. So, I also... Let me get my iPad turned here. Yeah. I also kind of, straight off of the immediate questions on the paper a little bit, you know, they were only guidelines. But again, the question was, if I can't trust my feelings, how do I know what is right? I wrote, "Feelings come and go, as Sister Henry testified this morning. Sometimes we may not even feel saved. We may feel down, but we have to claim it by faith and press on. And we think Sister Henry is a pillar in the church, and we know that certainly just because you've been in the church for a long time doesn't mean that you're secure in your faith. We can still fail, and the devil still certainly tempts people, but we have to remember that feelings aren't everything, and that we can't always trust them. Sometimes, and on most days, you may not feel like getting out of bed to go to work or school, but if you don't, you may get fired or fail school. The bills don't pay themselves, and A's don't appear on your grade card without any work. Sometimes we can be in a bad mood and maybe down a little, and we just don't feel like doing anything. But regardless of our situation, we still have much to be happy about, because God is good even unto the sinner. Psalms 118 and 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I think the choir just sang a song. Part of it came from that. And it's a very good song. When you're a teenager and in the growing years, emotions run all over the place. When you start liking boys and girls, you don't let your feelings or happiness be determined by a boy or girl. Keep them founded in God. You know, sometimes when you're 13 and growing up, feelings go all over the place. Sometimes they still do. But God can help with those things, you know. Make sure that those feelings are based on a person. Don't let somebody be all of your happiness or all of your joy. Make sure your joy comes from God.
Right.
So we talked a little bit about our unreliable feelings. But so how do we know what is right? When you were a child, how did you know what was right then? When you were working on your homework, maybe you said, "Hey, Mom, can you tell me if I spelled this right?" Or, "Hey, Dad, can you tell me if I did my math right?" Ephesians 6 and 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So we go to our parents and ask them if what we are doing is right. And this is a commandment of God in the Bible, to obey your parents. So not only do we ask them what is right, we are commanded to obey our parents in the Lord, because they're wise and they know more things than we do, especially when you're young. There are many things that we just can't see, and your parents can see them, but we have to trust them. The last part of Isaiah 30, 20 through 21 says, "But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is a way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand or to the left." So God has given us teachers, God has given us youth leaders, and God has given us pastors to lead us in the way, to show us what is right. Also, even though as a child, we can't know everything, we are given a God-given sense, a conscience, to which, if we stay tender-hearted, God will tell us if we are doing something wrong. He will be faithful. When we turn into young adults, we still have to keep asking what is right. Ask your parents what is God, and ask God. Matthew 7:7-8 in the Amplified says, "Keep on asking, and it will be given unto you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who keeps asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. To him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open." God will reveal the truth and the right thing to do if you keep on knocking with prayer at his door. So God is faithful to us. He won't let us just flounder about. Sometimes there are periods where God seemingly doesn't talk to us, but that doesn't mean that he isn't there. He still leads and guides us. And sometimes when we can't feel God, we still have to keep praying and reading. Certainly, the Bible is God's written word to us. And we can use those things, and sometimes when we can't feel God, we should go to people and counselors and ask them what we should do. Ephesians 58:2 in the Amplified says, "Yet they seek, inquire for me, and require me daily, and delight externally to know my ways, as if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of God. Ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw nigh to God in visible ways." So we have to inquire of God and seek Him daily in prayer and reading. And that's not always the easiest thing, but we have to make it discipline. One of my favorite scriptures, James 1 and 5 in the Amplified, says, "If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask God. Ask of God." I got to get this right, because this is not the way the King James says. "If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproach or fault-finding, and it will be given him." Again, this is one of my favorite scriptures. And we are not sufficient on our own. We need God's wisdom to help us to stay true and right. Proverbs 11 and 14 in the Amplified says, "Where no wise guidance is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." It is good to talk to our youth leaders and pastor. They have good advice, and they love you. It's just seemingly intimidating to talk to maybe your youth leader. I hope you guys aren't intimidated to talk to Brother Steve or Sister Sherry. Sometimes it's intimidating to talk to Brother Decker. It seems like such a big person, but they're easy to talk to. I'll promise you that. And that they certainly love you and want to see the best for you. Don't take advice from worldly friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the New Living Translation says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." The same thing in the Amplified says, "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil championships, communion, and associations corrupt, deprave good manners and moral and character." So one of the questions that was on the sheet, who or what can we trust to always be right, and how do we know? God is always the final authority on right and wrong. There is no failure in God. Hebrews 6:18-19 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, which entereth that within the veil. So this verse says it is impossible for God to lie. So God is always right, and that's the foundation which we can stand upon, which we believe. Another thing that I thought of when I thought of this question, how do we know what is right, is the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And this is recognized by many people, even other religions. Where does this come from? In Matthew 7:12, it says, "So then whatever ye desire that others would do to you and for you, even also do for them." That is this. For this sums up the law of the prophets. One other thing I thought of, I'll try to be quick, I know it's already getting a little late, is the known will of God. I read this in a devotional once, and it was a really, really interesting thought. What is God's known will? God's known will is for you to be saved, and God's will is for you to prosper. In 2 Peter 3-9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance." Let me get down, condense this a little bit at the end. So what does right mean? Right is defined as morally good, justified, and acceptable. There was a scripture in Mark 10:18 where Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." What is right and acceptable by the world and what is justified and right before God are two completely different things. The scripture that I believe Lauren read earlier, Judges 17:6, says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes." So the world has no moral compass, no boundaries or laws which govern them morally. Anything goes, very little is judged, and being wrong as being wrong. And people say, "Don't judge. Let them do as they please." Sometimes the world acts on the feel-good reasoning. If it feels good, do it. But the pleasing the flesh is not usually the right thing to do. But does this work for society? This would be called anarchy, and generally never goes well. skip that part. It's too much. If we are led by the flesh, we will definitely go astray. Proverbs 16 and 25 in the Amplified says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and appears straight before him, but the end of it is the way of death." Sometimes it's quoting from memory, but I'm reading the Amplified, so get a little tongue-tied. We need wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit to keep us straight. In my last scripture, in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when it comes down to it, really we are very small in comparison to God, and our wisdom and knowledge is very small. We have to keep coming back to God for wisdom. We have to keep coming back to God for direction and wisdom, and keep asking. That's the thing. When we stop asking, when we start going in our own wisdom, our own strength, that's when we fail. And God will be faithful to show us what is right. We just have to keep asking, and He will show you. Sometimes some of our questions, you know, looking for a companion or going to college, finding the right job, some of these things don't come very quickly. And you know, it'd be great when you turn 16 to find your companion. It would be great when you turn 18 and graduate out of high school to immediately have a job or to immediately know which college you're going to. But that's not always the way God has it. Sometimes, even though it sounds bad, God wants us to struggle so we become stronger through the trial. But God will show you the way. All
right.
And that's all I have.
Amen.
Very, very good thoughts from our speakers tonight. You know, I guess there's some three takeaways that we can take away from every speaker tonight. Is one, we can't trust our feelings. We can't trust our feelings. I don't know about you, even at 56 years old, there's a multitude of emotions and feelings that I have each and every day. Can you agree with that this morning or this afternoon? There's a multitude of emotions and feelings that we have throughout the day. And we can't trust those. We can't go by those. And so, like they were admonishing us or talking to us tonight, you know, and bringing forth those thoughts, what can we trust in tonight? We can trust in God's Word. We can trust in God's Word tonight. We can trust in the counsel of those that are godly, whether it be our parents, whether it be our youth leaders, whether it be our pastor or the ministers, or, you know, somebody that you really, really trust in. And, you know, there is, great help in a multitude of counselors. There's also one other thing that we can do is, you know, many, many verses of Scripture were read tonight giving us wisdom on how to deal with, you know, our feelings and how to deal with the decisions we need to make. And, you know, young people, you hear this all the time. Pray. Read your Bible. Talk to God. Those are the things that we need to do. Why? Because God will never, He'll never guide us wrong. He'll never guide us wrong tonight. And so if we are patient, we listen to God, and we can't trust our feelings tonight, but we can trust in God. We can trust in God.